Taking my glasses off.
With my meat fingies.
It's my new thing. I do it without my glasses because I'm one of those girls that you don't realize that they're pretty until their glasses come off.
So we're living in a 90s romantic comedy?
Yes.
Where it's like, I want you to take the ugliest girl in all of school to prom. And then all she needs is to take her glasses off and let her hair down. It's like,
what? No,
she's
yeah.
actually pretty.
Wait a minute. She's actually pretty.
And now that she has my penis, she's an actualized woman.
Yep. And that's the 90s for you.
And now her finger paintings will sell and she can afford her dad's surgery.
Hello, welcome back to All That Work for Nothing, the podcast.
With Doriel and Shane.
Whoa. Yes. What?
Yes.
Yes, I'm just, I think I went into like an Anchorman kind of like, and now with the news.
Thanks for stopping by.
Sometimes I go into the wrong zone, you know? The zone just like gets me and then I'm like there and then I can't get out of it.
Have you seen those ones where it's like they have to do a quick transition where it's like, and the little boy never found his puppy again. But later on, we are going to
we're talking to this cute little girl who's selling kittens.
We're going to talk to this cute little boy who found a puppy just walking down the street.
We found a cute little boy who found a puppy who looks eerily similar to the one the kid before lost.
Similarities? You have to stick by. News at 11. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. Nice.
It's crazy thinking back how much I actually used to watch like local news.
I never watched the news.
KTLA was a big thing. Southern California people out there, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. That was so rude of me.
That's okay.
I am feeling tired today, but anyways, I will persevere. I was going to say the thing about watching the news. I remember I was featured on the news twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I was featured on the news. Well, it wasn't like I was featured like they talked to me. It was literally like the camera panned to me. And at one point, the camera panned to me and then like zoomed in on my face.
That's still so cool.
Yeah. And I remember I went into school the next day and everyone's like, whoa, Dory, you were on the news. And I was like, I was? Because like I told you, I didn't watch the news.
That
and
is
I was
so
like,
cool.
I really need to watch the news more. I was in like fourth grade. One of the local weathermen came to our school and he did like an all school assembly with us. And there was one point where he was talking about like, oh, if you guys raise this much money, then your principal has to dress up as a dragon because we were the Allendale Dragons.
Yes, I remember.
Yes. So he and I remember like I had this like oversized green sweater on. I know exactly what I was wearing. I had an oversized green sweater that I was wearing. And I remember it was so oversized that the sleeves went over my hands.
Okay.
So they were all floppy.
Uh-huh.
And so I remember like covering my face and laughing like really hard at that
floppy,
with my little flop. So
sleeve.
I probably looked adorable. And that's what they zoomed in on. Because I asked my classmates. I was like, what did they zoom in on? They're like, yeah, you were like covering your face and laughing.
Oh my gosh, that's
and
so
I was like,
cute.
Frick, I missed that. And then there was another time in sixth grade when a different meteorologist came to our classroom. So it was just our classroom.
Oh, wow.
Because I think our teacher had like an in with him somehow. I don't know.
An in with him?
I don't want to speculate, okay?
More like he was in with her.
Okay. No, No.
Oh.
They were both men.
Oh, yeah. They were in with each other.
Yeah, they were in with each other. I don't want to speculate, but I hope they're happy. No, but yeah, so the guy came to our actual like classroom of like 25 kids. And of course, I didn't watch the news again, but they didn't do a close up on me, but they did like a shot of our desk pod. Cause you know, like in elementary school,
right.
You like all of you face this each other in your little pods. So I someone said that like, they're like, yeah, you were on the news again. And I was like, dang it, I really need to watch the news. And then there was another time, this is way before, but I was like on the front cover or the front page of the newspaper.
Really?
Yeah, I was in first grade.
What was that one for?
Well, I'm telling you. I was in first grade, and my grade, in order to learn how to do math and how to give proper change, we decided that we were going to start a candy cane sales.
Okay. Like, this is around the holidays?
This is around the holidays. So mm-hmm. we decided, like, yeah, we were learning how to give out change and how to, like, you know, subtract and add and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And our teacher was very adamant that we would know how to give proper change from our minds.
Yeah.
So she was like, okay, we're going to open up a candy cane stand, just our class. And you're going to give it out, you know, and it, we can only, obviously back then, this is like, what, 90? No, this would have been 2000.
Right.
2000, 2001.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry. No, 2000. She was like, you will have to give change, like proper change, and you can't use a calculator. Okay. And of course, if you had to use a calculator, you could.
Yeah, but like, they're trying to teach you.
Yeah. And yeah. So, yeah, there's a picture, and I wish I could find it, but I think it somehow got lost in the move. But there's a picture of this girl that's like standing in the front, and she's holding two candy canes and smiling. And then me and my best friend at the time, we're in the back, and we're kind of like, kind of like in the background, like, hi.
Like at camera.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so cute.
But yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
Like, I know. So like, I was meant for the scream.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I was going to say, like, you're lucky that you didn't get discovered, knowing that what we know about, like, child actors and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
We're lucky that nobody was like, get me that kid.
I haven't told this story on here, though. I went to, my mom signed me up for like a place that would get me discovered when I was in.
Really?
Yes, when I was in sixth grade. Because I have a really good singing voice, but I'm very.
Understatement of the century.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I've always been a very good singer, but I have terrible stage fright.
Hmm. Like, it's probably really bad when you're in sixth grade too.
Oh my God.
That's like the height of insecurity.
Well, I was in a school play when I was in fifth grade, and I played one of the lead parts, and I had to sing a song. I was Mrs. Claus, and I had to sing a song because Mr. Claus or Santa Claus, he got a giant present hit him in the head while the elves were working.
Violent.
And, I know, it was very violent. But so yeah, the elves were working on a giant present. They didn't put it away properly, and it hits Santa Claus in the head, and he's just like, has amnesia, and he can't remember who he is. So I sing a sad ballad about my poor Santa Claus. And I remember I got so nervous because we did two performances. One of them was for the whole school during the school day. And then the second one was at night, that night. And it was for like parents and like whoever else wanted to come. And I remember the one during the school time, I was so nervous. I kept forgetting my lines. And so I'd have to keep looking over at my classmates, and they'd be like reading out the lines for me. And I'd be like, ah. And then when I got in front of the microphone, I started singing, and my mouth got so dry and my throat got so dry that I literally like stopped in the middle of the song. I was like, ah. And then I had to go and like keep singing. But I remember the kids that were sitting there were like snickering at me and like pointing and laughing at me. And so the rest of that play was so terrible. And it was scary. And I think that was just like a huge like moment for me.
Yeah.
For solidifying moment, like a canon is what they call it nowadays. It was a canon moment in my life.
Canon.
Yeah.
Like a cannon going off, being like, no, it's not what that means.
Honestly, like, I don't want to sound old, but I don't know. You know what? Let's look it up on Urban Dictionary.
All right. We're checking the Urban Dictionary to see what a cannon.
God, I hate this. I'm so old.
I mean, I never heard this expression before. I think knowing it and not remembering what it means is better than like never hearing it before. Because I sound like the old one. I'm like, what do the young kids say? They call it the cannon. I had a cannon in the Battle of Waterloo, you see. shot Napoleon through the leg with it. I did.
Canon event. Canon event. See, this is how fucking old we are. All right. It's an inevitable event or action, good or bad, that is supposed to happen that results your future self. Ha! I was okay. Right. Okay, that was a canon event in my life.
Okay.
So now that we old-ass people know what canon event is, I knew what it meant, but I'm so bad at describing what words mean.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a dictionary.
I've always been like, when I was a kid, they were like, yeah, his reading's okay. His comprehension's pretty good, but his vocabulary is like, I don't know why. Words just always kind of like made sense to me. I was really good at figuring out the context.
I was that way as well because my mom is just, she is a walking dictionary.
She's a vocab machine.
She is a vocab machine. And she just, so she instilled a huge vocabulary in me at a young age. But when people would ask me what the word meant, I'd be like, well, look at, and my mom would do the same thing when I'd be like, well, what does that word mean? She'd be like, okay, well, in this context, if I'm using it this way, what do you think it means? So she would make me like figure it out on my own, which I'm glad she did. That helped me a lot.
I got really good at prefixes and suffixes and kind of breaking words down, because that was what I really struggled with when I was a kid, was like kind of like saying words.
Yeah. You know?
Like spelling. And I still struggle with spelling, but like kind of like being able to like break words down and like remember the words. But once I got a word, it was like lodged in my brain. It was stuck in there. That was helpful. I've definitely had a good vocabulary throughout my life.
Really do. You have a great vocabulary.
I am getting old and to the point where I'm like, what does that mean now?
I know. I remember when I was...
What are you betting on, dearie?
When I had my first midlife crisis at 25, I remember being like, oh my God, I'm fucking old. Like, I'm out of the club, as my mom and I like to say. I'm out of the club. I'm old. I'm out of the club. And I remember just being like, oh my God, I don't even know what the hip lingo is anymore. I didn't say hip lingo. I was 25. I was like, I don't know what like is cool anymore.
What are these groovy cats and kittens talking about today?
What's the bee's knees nowadays? I remember having that like existential crisis and then realizing like, girl, you are 25. Like, you're fine. Yeah. Okay. And also, who gives an absolute fuck if you know what the younger generation is using as cool words? You know, because, we had the same thing. Like, every generation goes through that transition, you know, where you're like in the middle of the youth or whatever, and you're saying these idiotic things. I remember, some of the things that we would say in high school in like the 2010s, and because I graduated in 2012, so like the 2010s is what we call it. Some of the shit we would say was so dumb, and then when we'd like ask our parents, like, be like, oh, well, do you know what this word means? Just to like make them feel old.
Yeah, I remember. It was so fun.
And it's the same thing nowadays. These kids, these Gen A's, are also going through that now, where they're like, you don't even know what that means.
I'm liking seeing,
you know, we all go through it. We all do it.
I'm liking seeing Gen Z getting old now. I'm like, yes, gobble gobble, one of us.
Yeah, I think the oldest Gen Zers are 26 now.
Yep. So in the next few years, shit's going to start hurting for them. Isn't that, that's just so wonderful. No, I'm just joking.
Well, in the next few years, they're going to be, they're going to understand what we felt like when they would say we're old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, because it's around 27, 28, 29 when things just start to randomly hurt. And then more things start to randomly hurt.
Oh.
And then they start to randomly hurt worse.
So, sorry, to go back to the original story.
Right.
We do this all the time. We need to get better at this. Okay, so the original story was that when I was in sixth grade, my mom gave me the choice of, okay, you can either go to Talent Rock, which was a company that you would fly out to them. You would pay all this money.
Yeah.
And you would sign up for, like, you would either, if you wanted to go into acting or if you wanted to go into singing, you would sign up and then you would pay them thousands of dollars and you would try out. And so my mom was like, my mom was one of my biggest cheerleaders growing up, like always believed in me and always wished that I would like pursue my theatrical side a little more, which I wish I would, but I just had so much anxiety and I didn't realize I did until it was too late. But, well, I shouldn't say that, until I was much older. So I was so terrified of rejection and being told I wasn't good enough. And especially at that age. Oh my God. But anyways, my mom said, okay, you can either go to Talent Rock or you can go to your sixth grade continuation. And what 12-year-old wouldn't want to go to Orlando, Florida to try out to be famous? I was like, I want to be famous. Like, I want to do that. I'm ready for this. So for months, my mom helped me with she would act like a judge and I would sing in front of her and we picked this one song and it was like, it had to be like a 16 bar set and it had to be in the middle of the song. It couldn't be from the very beginning. And so I would like walk in like she was the judge and then I would sing for her. And then I would also do, she would print out these commercials so that I could read as if I was in a commercial trying out for it. And I just have, I was fine. I was doing great. And then all of a sudden when I got up there, I freaked the fuck out. When I got in front of these judges, they scared me. Yeah. I was only 12. And these were full-fledged adults. And there was these teenagers and 20-something year olds that were of me.
So it wasn't just middle schoolers.
No. It wasn't just little kids. Okay. It was of all ages. But all these other kids and beautiful, full-fledged adults going in front of me belting their hearts out and I can hear them and I'm just like, oh my God, what am I doing here? I just had this horrible imposter syndrome. And so when I went up there, I didn't tell them my name. Aww. I was wearing we wore these little in American Idol when they're wearing a number on them.
Yes.
We had those. And so they knew who I was, but they were very rude. They didn't say hi. They're just like, okay.
What kind of a weird ass adult is rude to a little kid?
So I'm singing, and so I started singing and then they were like, and I knew when I needed to stop. So I stopped. And then before I stopped, they're like, okay, you can stop now. And I was just like, okay. And I think because I was so nervous, they were like, we don't want her. Cause obviously, they want someone who's
camera ready
and big and and I was so in, because of events that had happened in my life, and a lot of it had to do with being bullied because I had type 1 diabetes and being different from other kids, I was terrified. I couldn't get past that. And I'm still working on it today. Doing this podcast is terrifying to me.
Yeah.
But one of the things is that one of the mantras that I live by is, if your dream doesn't scare you, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Where'd you hear that from?
Oh, God. From so many people say it all the time.
Really? I have not heard that one. That's a great line, though.
Yeah. That's one of my mantras. It's like, I was stuck in a 9-to-5 job, staring at a screen all day and doing meaningless work. And I was like, and I think I read a book or I did something and I heard that line and I was like, it was like an awakening. I was like, oh, my. What am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
I really am. I'm not scaring myself. I'm staying in my tight little bubble of a 9-to-5 getting a steady paycheck. And while some find that to be perfect and whatever, it's not like that for me. It's not like that for you either, right?
I mean, no, because I've always had this problem marketing myself and advancing myself. So I will just do whatever someone says.
See, but
if I'm in a 9-to-5 job, I'm just like, yeah, sure, whatever you need. I'm the whatever you need guy.
Well, that's everyone. That's pretty much. Not everyone, but that's how most people are in that environment, and it's ingrained in us to become people pleasers because otherwise we're afraid of losing our jobs.
Yeah,
And that's how I felt. I got tired of playing the game.
Yeah,
and now I'm at the point in my life where I'm at a certain age and I'm I'm not scaring myself. I'm not pushing myself past my limits. I'm not even seeing what my limits are. It's time to branch myself out there and stop allowing, I'm so worried about hatred. There was one TikTok that I posted from a snippet that went on the wrong side of TikTok and It ran. It didn't just walk. It ran to the wrong side of TikTok. And now we're still trying to get back to the right side of TikTok. We still have these freaking ridiculous, like, what do you want to call them? Bro guy, men guy, like these, what is it? Men apologists? Is that what they call them?
Men apologists?
No.
Like, oh.
Men who think that they need that. You know, that they also have a really hard life.
Oh, what is it? Men go their own way.
There's a bunch of men who go their own way.
MGTOW.
We don't need those fuckers.
MGTOW.
We are trying to get on the girls, gays, and theys, okay?
Your own way is down the road, friends.
Yeah, go the fuck away from us. We don't want you here. You are not welcome.
See,
we've said this like several times, but we still have the wrong audience, and it's so hard. Like, anyways. So I realized that my life was going in the wrong direction of what I wanted. And I realized, you know, it's now or never. You know, I have to, if I don't go for it now, like, I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life. Yeah. And I was finally at the point where I had pushed myself so hard. Because, you know, I was in that relationship for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I wasn't happy in it. And I finally got out of it. And that's kind of like the domino effect.
Yeah.
Of where my life is now. I don't have a traditional 9-to-5 job. I don't have a steady income yet. But I'm happier than I've ever been. So what does that tell you? You know what I mean?
That makes me really happy, baby. I love, like, going on adventures with you.
Yeah, me too.
Like, this is kind of what I always really wanted. And if you're out there, like, find yourself somebody who's your adventure buddy.
Yeah, always find someone that will be your cheerleader and never tell you that your dreams are too big, because they're not. They really aren't. Like, if you are in a similar situation to what I was in, branch out. Find something that scares you and go towards it. And the thing is, too, is something that helped me too was I saw this post. They interviewed people that were dying. They had terminal illnesses and they were younger people. One of the things that really hit me was leave the house.
Yeah.
None of the stories that you have in your life are when you stayed in your house.
Yeah.
So go to those places. Have adventures. That's how you're going to meet people. That's how you're going to have stories. And so ever since I heard that or saw that, I have been pushing myself. That really hit me.
Yeah.
Where I was like, no, I need to go out. I need to go and experience things. I need to live my fucking life. And I want to have stories.
Yeah.
You know, if we decide to have kids one day, I want to be able to tell them stories. I want to tell our grandkids stories. Like,
yeah.
I want to be like, I was there, Mia. I want to be that person, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing with the podcast. That's what I'm doing with our woodworking business. Like, it's one of those things where I will tirelessly chase what I want, because I refuse to believe that all I'm meant for is a meaningless, lifeless 9-to-5 job that barely pays me enough to live.
Yeah, because you just don't feel human that way.
No.
This,
like, I deserve to feel human. Yeah. You deserve to feel human. You deserve to feel human. So I think a lot the collective is kind of figuring out, like, especially here in America, why the fuck are things run this way? Why aren't things changing? Wait a minute. We can change things. So I am of that movement, and I am fucking grabbing life by the gonads, and I'm ripping them, okay? And I'm making it the way I want it to be. So into a stronger vagina.
So,
nice.
The way you ripped those gonads was quite intimidating.
Gah!
Yeah. With such force, brutality.
Sometimes I like fantasize. Or I guess daydream about, like, if I were to get attacked by a man, how hard I would, like, grab, like, I would squeeze their dick.
Yeah. And oh, no, you got to do the balls.
No, I'm sorry. I meant their balls.
Yeah.
I would squeeze the balls.
Yeah.
And then I would fucking rip them off. And it would just feel so great.
So you got to twist and rip. See, it's kind of like you're, like, you want, like, those old-timey door handles when they're really big. And you got to, like, twist and rip. Because Yeah, then he'll probably regret his whole life and all his choices.
And I really want to be that for someone. Where there's, I want to be the like the guy, like I want to be the story for that guy who's like, yeah, I was going to do something heinous to this woman. And then she literally ripped my balls out of me. And now I realize the error of my ways. And I'm a feminist now. And, you know, I fight for women's rights and I protect women. And, you know, that I want to be the pinnacle of someone's life.
See, what you got to do is that you rip his balls off and then you replace him with like jingly balls so people can always hear him coming from now on.
Oh, my God.
And everyone will know what the fuck he did because they just meet him and they're like, oh, I'm busy. I'm so sorry, friend.
Jingle balls,
jingle all the way to jail.
Nice.
I kind of had a similar aha moment when I was in college and I wanted to be a cop for like most of college. I wanted to be a cop since I was 15. And then when I turned 17, I saw The Departed and that like blew my little mind. And
I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's about like Boston cops. And my grandfather was from Boston. My dad was born just outside of Boston in the Chelsea Navy Hospital, but he was only there for like a few months. So I started like being all about Boston and Boston everything and Boston this. I was like,
really?
I was an annoying ass little kid.
Because you hate East Coasters.
I hate East Coasters. But the thing is like, this is when I was in the heart of like Orange County and I just really wanted to be different. Yeah. And I also started to really hate Orange County and I started to get pretty annoyed by it.
I'm sure.
So when I was like 17, I started to love Boston stuff a lot. And then that was kind of always like in my back of my mind because like I had nothing. Like once I moved out of Orange County and moved to San Diego, I had less in common with Orange County. So I really started to like dislike it. After a while, I kind of realized, like, why do I like this part of my family from a grandfather I never met?
Yeah.
When I have this great part of, when I have these great grandparents, not great grandparents, I have these grandparents who are great, and they grew up mostly their adult lives, at least in Orange County. Mm-hmm. So, like, why would I, like, idolize a part of my life that I have really nothing, I have no like history with. I have nothing in common with. Mm-hmm. Like I've been to Boston and it's fine. It's really small. For if you're over 6 feet tall, you basically have to like it's like you're moving around like a ship. Like you're walking around like an aircraft carrier. Everything is tight and weird and small. And yeah, East Coast people are
They're a different breed,
man.
My family is all from the East Coast, so I grew up idolizing the East Coast and hating Colorado, which is so crazy to say because I love Colorado now. It's my home, obviously. It's where I grew up. But I remember growing up, I was the same where I wanted to be different. And I wanted to like reject what I'd known and be like, oh, yeah. I for sure thought I was going to grow up and move to the East Coast, to New Jersey, where my parents are from, and live a East Coast life. But I no longer feel that way. I don't hate East Coasters. I love them. I get them because they're my whole family. But I understand your dislike. I understand why you would get that way, but I love them. I think they're freaking hilarious.
To be fair, I feel like they started it. Coasters started it because they always make fun of us for being like hippies or surfer dudes.
Yeah.
Or like they would always have like their opinion that they couldn't keep to themselves. And so they always like would make these impressions of us that were like very, very condescending.
Well,
I feel like they started
it. It's the whole thing is because the East Coast, they have horrible winters.
Yeah. Okay? Oh, I know.
Because of the humidity there, winters stick to your bones and they stick around for months. Like it's fucked. So I honestly think that a lot of it is just like, they're like, oh yeah, like I'm a different breed than these Californians over here in the sunshine. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they just think they're better than you, but on a deep level, they're jealous because they live in ice for 7 months of the year.
I mean, so many of them moved to California. Like my dad's dad, he moved from Boston to California.
Mm-hmm.
And my
No one's mom's from dad. California.
Nobody is really from California. Yeah. There's like a handful of families that maybe go back to like the 19th century, but for the vast, vast majority of people, they're from somewhere.
Yes.
And a lot of them moved in the 50s, like when my grandparents moved, because California was like a big Navy base. The Marine base was there. The Navy base was in San Diego. And everyone was like, wow, what great weather. And then also, once they started showing things like the Rose Bowl in color, people were like, and, you know, the Rose Bowl was played on January 1st.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, that's what January 1st looks like in L.A.?
Yep.
And then, like, they're in those cold-ass, stick-to-your-bones East Coast winter. So they all moved out there, which is fine. But
they didn't leave their East Coast attitude in the East
Exactly.
Coast.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
I get it.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah. They could have left it at home, but they had decided to pack it up and take it with them.
You know, I have a Colorado attitude, and I live in Washington, so...
A Colorado attitude is not nearly as...
Depending. There are some Coloradans that are kind of assholes.
Those ones that call themselves natives?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're from Colorado, you know. But I remember growing up, there would be these people that were so mad that other people were moving, specifically Californians, were moving to Colorado and polluting our beautiful state. I know. a lot of people would have these native stickers on their car to be like, yeah, I'm actually from here. And it's like, okay.
You're special.
I mean, we're all American, so why the fuck do you care? Like, calm down, buddy.
People just gotta find a reason to hate people.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is that, like, we did that in California, but we just would never say it to your face. We were always, like, behind your back.
See, that's the thing about Californians. We can never trust you.
No.
Because you're two-sided bitches.
Well, we will be talking about you behind your back. But,
oh, I hate that. Yeah. That is so rude.
Oh, it's very rude. The thing is that, like, yeah.
That's why I like East Coasters. They're right to your face, and they're like, yeah, I don't like you. And I'm like, all right. We can work on that. Or I'm like, I don't like you either. Cool. Let's move on.
No, I want to be able to go about my day and talk shit on you and then do other stuff. I don't want to have this weird interaction that I have to keep playing in loop in the back of my head.
It's almost like California is a mean girl high school.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what age you are. You're stuck in that.
It's so true.
And I think that's why a lot of people don't like Californians.
No, I get it.
And I get it.
It's very true.
I didn't like Californians for the longest time until I met you. And then I was like, oh, not all Californians are bad.
Well, the thing is like, I was not like the mean. I was genuinely nice and tried to be nice to people, which is why I hated California and Orange County so much.
I get that.
If California, especially Southern California, is like a mean girl high school, then Orange County is like the bathroom in the mean girl high school where all the bad shit happens and all the shit talking is concentrated into one area.
Yeah.
Which is great because I love calling Orange County a bathroom.
I love that for you.
Toilet.
I have yet to visit California.
Yes.
This is my first West Coast, actually, like real West Coast experience. And I moved here. I think like the only West Coast states I've been to so far are Washington and Oregon. I haven't gone to California yet.
It's rough. If I had to introduce somebody to the West Coast, I would start in San Diego and then kind of branch.
See, yeah, I want to go to California. I really want to go to San Diego.
I would not start north and go down. Because,
really?
Yeah.
There's this weird rivalry between Northern Californians and Southern Californians.
Yeah, because they're weird and we're awesome.
But it's like it reminds me of the rivalry between Boulderites and everyone else.
Yeah,
we all hate Boulder. That's the funny thing too, is like, it doesn't matter where you're from in California or in Colorado, but if you bring up Boulderites, everyone's like, oh, fuck them.
Yeah,
like no one likes people from Boulder.
So the center part of California is like farm country for a huge stretch of the state. And I think that's the one that everybody is okay talking shit on. Like Bakersfield, Fresno, that whole area. And if you're from there, I'm sure you're a great person, but where you live is gross. I'm sorry. It's gross.
All right.
Yeah. All the way up to Sacramento. Sacramento, also gross.
If you're in eastern Colorado...
Nasty.
Yeah.
Okay. So think of Eastern Colorado.
Yeah.
With way, 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 way more cows. Like an unreasonable amount of cows.
Colorado is one of the biggest beef producers in the United States.
I know, but it's
so there's lots of cows as well.
I get it. More in California.
I really, well, yeah, you're like seven states in one, so yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's just that it's more concentrated, because if you drive up the five, there's one part where I swear for 40 minutes, the entire ride smells like cow shit.
Oh, yeah, there's places like that in Colorado
as
well.
Yeah, so you get it.
Greeley.
Yeah.
It smells like a cow's asshole.
Yes. I remember when I was first driving in Colorado, we went from Wyoming down.
Oh, yeah.
And I was totally expecting it to be mountains, and it was nothing but farm.
It's all
and I'm
plains.
Just like, did we drive to the wrong state?
Yeah, it's so
I know
funny.
Geography pretty well, but this
so
is not right.
So many people talk shit about like Nebraska, Wyoming, mm-hmm. Kansas, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, Wyoming has at least the mountains, but Colorado really, it's only the western side of Colorado that's good. If you go if you go in some places south and most places east, it's not a pretty sight.
See, I do like what that one valley in the southern part of the state that we drove through.
Yeah, no, there's great parts in the south, I said. Yeah. But like some parts south are
not the best.
Not great.
Yeah.
And then most places east, not great.
I would say 99% of the people who aren't from Colorado think the western part of the state is the whole state.
Yes. Yeah. Most people think, like, one of the biggest misconceptions about people from Colorado is that we all live in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not. I grew up with the mountains in my backyard, basically. Like, I was 15 minutes from the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
But by no means did I live in the mountains.
Yeah.
I did not get the same kind of weather that the mountains would get.
I feel like people have that same idea about California, that we all live by the beach. And I was like you. I live 15 minutes away from the beach.
I can see why people would think that, though, because of how skinny California is, and you're right by the coast.
Yeah, but then, like, the vast majority of people, I'd say...
Oh, it's too expensive to live by the beach.
It's way too expensive to live by the beach.
Want to bring up the original point of what we were talking about. We need to get better at that. We need to, like, stick to...
We need a producer.
No, we really do.
We need an AI producer.
No, we just... Not an AI producer.
We need,
fuck that. We need an
actual
producer.
We need a robot producer. I want a silly robot producer that, did you ever see Colin Ferguson's late night show?
I'm sure I did, like snippets of it.
Yeah, he had like a little robot like sidekick.
No, we're not getting a robot sidekick.
But a robot sidekick would be so cool.
No, we're getting a live human being who's going to get paid a good livable wage.
But what if you find out that the robot deep down really has feelings?
No!
He wants to be human.
He wants to be human. No. No.
Maybe another time.
No! Not another time. Never. We're never going to get a fucking AI producer. That's so dumb. No. I'm putting my foot down. I don't normally put my foot down. Like I'm good at compromise, I would say. At least I think I am, right?
He can be called producer.
At least I think I am, right?
You are very good at compromise.
Thank you. But I'm putting my foot down. I'm putting my foot down.
Can I at least tell you his name?
Sure.
It's producer. So instead of like...
Okay.
So like...
Well, we can just call our dude. Oh, wait, what if we just like... hire an actual person, right? And then we have them dress up like the stereotypical robot, and then we just call them producer. See, I compromise.
Perfect. Perfect. This is exactly what we need. We're interviewing the person. There's something down here at the bottom of the application that says must be willing to dress up like a robot. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Yes. And we will be calling you producer.
We will be calling you producer.
Like a processor, but a producer.
Okay. That's so dumb, but I love it. I love dumb things.
Oh, I got the black lung pop.
I got the black lung. Anyways, go back to why you decided not to be a cop.
Oh, well, okay. So I'm in college and literally it's May and we're going to graduate in like
it's
2 or 3
It's going to be May. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's so perfect.
I had to do it.
So perfect.
Go ahead.
So like we're going to graduate in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And my professor has been gone the entire semester, most of the semester on paternity leave. And he comes back with his little baby and, you know, his wife and everything like that. And something kind of clicked in me because I always thought like history professors and like people in that profession were like really old, and most of them I knew like were like single or like had been married when they were younger, right. But they're always I had this archetype in my head.
Everyone does. Yeah,
he's like lonely, sad kind of professors, and he was younger. He was like in his 30s, wow. And he had like a family, and so like that was what I wanted at the time, and so something just switched in my brain where I realized I didn't want to just be a cop. I wanted to be a DEA agent.
Oh, damn.
I wanted to be like full, like military, tactical, all wow. that stuff, which I would have been terrible at. And it would have not been good. I am not coordinated and I am not observant. And I am
not with that attitude.
No, it would have been a disaster. So I'm glad that I did not choose that path. And I switched and I went into trying to be a historian, which also didn't end up happening. But I'm glad that I didn't go down the initial path. So sometimes you have to really realize what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And like, that's exactly what happened to me where I was having doubts, but I was like, I don't really know like what else I want to do. And I had a history degree because if it didn't work out or if I got hurt or something like that, I could have gone into like being a lawyer or something.
Right.
Was my backup plan.
Yeah. And I didn't have a backup plan, but that's something else. I had a similar situation where I was one semester away from student teaching. I wanted to be specifically a high school history teacher. And I was not vibing well with when I was going to student teaching. I was not having fun. It was bringing back a lot of the trauma that I had in high school. And so I realized like, wait a minute, I'm 22 years old. Mm. What am I going to teach these kids? I was just like, I was terrified. And then I realized that I don't get along. I hate teenagers. I'm so sorry to all teenagers, but I don't like teenagers. They are the worst. I remember as a teenager hating teenagers.
Yeah.
I remember as a child, I hated teenagers. I've always just been a teenage hater.
They are like,
no, I don't really care. Like, you know, it's a rite of passage. You're at your worst at that age because you have all these hormones and, you know, you hate your parents and you're being told what to do and you're trying to, you know, figure out what your limitations are. And I get it. Totally get it. But
teenagers are like the Boulder of humans. Like,
No. Teenagers are cool to me now. Like I have no beef with them.
It's on the record. Teenagers are cooler than Boulder.
But I just realized I was placed with some really bad teachers when I was in my school placements, and all of them were so bitter and angry and hated kids. And I was like, ooh, I don't want to end up like that. And what do I have to teach these kids at 22 years old? I've never left the country. I can't teach them about the fucking world, which is what I would be teaching them about, because I'm going to be a history teacher.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. I did the same thing as you, where I graduated as a history with a history degree. Mm-hmm. But something that I just learned recently was it's okay to not know what you want to do. Society tells you that you should know exactly what you want to do, and they push you into school when you're 18 years old, when you've been pushed into school your whole life. Mm-hmm. And they tell you if you don't get a degree, you're not going to make it anywhere. But there are so many people that don't have degrees that made it somewhere. And it's okay to take a different life path. It's also okay to figure shit out. I'm 30 years old and I'm still figuring out what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm doing this podcast. I'm doing the woodworking business. Like, I love exploring things. And that should definitely be something that you do for the rest of your life. Don't put yourself in a box and make yourself stay there. Expand. Learn new things. Yeah. Scare yourself. Do all the things.
The best thing college is for really isn't for like teaching what you're gonna do for the rest of your life. It's just kind of teaching you how to be a human.
Yeah.
Like teaching you how to like function with people who aren't from the exact yes. same place as you and the exact same like social background as you.
Yes. And it's okay to not go to college as well.
It's okay.
College is not the end all be all. It really isn't. Like, look at us. We have our degrees, and what has it done for us?
I would encourage that if you don't go to college, have some sort of experience like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like travel yes. or do something. But I think you need the college experience. When I say the college experience, I mean the stepping outside of your bubble.
Of your comfort zone. Yeah. Yes. And meeting people from different walks of life, meeting people from different backgrounds as you. That's so important. But you can do that anywhere. It doesn't have to just be college. But on that note, I think we should end.
Yeah.
This was a really great conversation.
I had a great time with you, baby.
A lot.
I did too. We had a really good conversation. Very thought provoking.
Very thought provoking. Mm. Well, thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week. Make sure to do all the things, like, subscribe, comment, let us know what else you'd like to hear us talk about. Help us get to the right analytics so we're not getting those dude bro guys listening to our clips anymore.
Remember, we want the gays.
Girls, gays, and theys.
Girls, gays, and theys. Thank you.
Yes. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok. We're doing a lot on TikTok nowadays. And I will also link my TikTok in there as well so that you can see our woodworking journey.
Yeah, we just
it's
made
been
an apothecary.
Lots of fun. Yeah, it's
just
been lots of fun.
Turned out so good. Yeah. So stoked for that.
Well, anyways, thank you so much.
And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.